From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
It's Pavel with a four-length lead. Honorable Duty moves into second, trying to close. Mature in the outside, Hawakam, but they're all chasing Pavel. Pavel wins the Stephen Foster by three on the wire.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Oh, what a one this is. It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed continues to battle him, but Vino Rosso's getting away. Restoring Hope is third. Vino Rosso, Fantastico in the Wood Memorial.
Wondegadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century into second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondegadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by our friends at Kentucky Downs in the month of July. Happy to have you with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass on this 14th day of July 2018, which means that we are now just 111 days, 4 hours, and 23 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs in that first weekend in November. And you have to wonder, is it going to be a Breeders' Cup held without the Triple Crown winner? No, I guess that remains to be seen. Of course, Justify, the news coming out this week that he is taking a bit of a break after some filling in his left front ankle. He remains in California, and we'll see if he gets back to training relatively soon. But they're going to take every precaution with him and make sure all systems are go before they move forward. And JT, we'll see. I mean, that would be exciting if he were to make it to Churchill Downs. But first and foremost, it's all about the health of the equine athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would be shocked if he ever runs again. You know,
yeah,
it's highly unlikely. I mean, it was highly unlikely that he would ever run again after he won the Triple Crown. I know people were hopeful, but.
Well, they were planning on it. Right. I mean, he was still.
That's
in
what
training.
They say.
Yeah,
that's what they say. What?
Right.
What they say and what is reality are two different things. There was a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of people involved as far as stallion syndication and all that stuff. So
sure, yeah, the economics now make it very difficult for a horse like this. Look, I mean, and you can say, all right, well, it's not sporting of the connections to retire him and send him to stud. But I always tell people when they make that argument, put yourself in their shoes.
Right.
Picture this. You own Justify. You just won the Triple Crown. You're looking at, what, tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, $60 million plus.
Right.
You know.
How do you walk away from that?
And anybody that says it's not sporting, you know, I dare them to buy a racehorse and pay the upkeep on a racehorse.
Yeah.
And figure out... I don't care if it's Justify or a 6250 claimer at Gulfstream Park that runs numbers of two on the turf. It's expensive, and it's a very expensive game to participate in, and you have to make some money once in a while or you're going to die broke. So even, you know, the fact that Windstar Farm and China Horse Club are, you know, wealthy individuals, they still have to operate their business, and it just doesn't make any sense to risk $60 million.
Right,
know?
Right. Yeah, I think it's similar, and I'll draw this parallel. It's similar to let's take college basketball, for example. A college basketball student who is looking to come out early and join the NBA, and the kid's going to be a lottery pick, which means he's going to get guaranteed money. He's going to get guaranteed millions of dollars to come out and go to the draft, or he can come back and finish school in his senior year. And people will say, well, wait a minute, you're a student athlete. You should get your education. And I say no. I say if you are in a position where you are fortunate enough to put yourself there where you can make millions of dollars and secure your future. I mean, what are you going to school for? You're going to school to get an education to come out and get a good job, right? That's the bottom line. And then you have to work your tail off. If you ever get to millions of dollars, you have to work your tail off to do it. So if you're fortunate enough to be a student athlete that's good enough to go to the NBA draft and be a lottery pick, you have to go, right?
Absolutely.
You have to go get the money.
It would be silly not to.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and it's a similar situation when you own a horse like Just Fine. You're going to get guaranteed, tens of millions of dollars. You almost have to,
Yeah,
you put yourself in that position.
I don't even think it's not a question. I don't think, but
yeah.
I mean, and even like I say, even if you're ridiculously rich, if you're a billionaire, you still have
a lot of money. Even for a rich guy, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It certainly is. So we'll see what happens here with this story. And of course, you can follow us at HRN on Twitter. We'll bring you the latest updates and retweet some of the latest news that we see coming out on the Justify front. But for now, his racing career is on hold at the moment as they take a look into what might be happening with that filling in his left front ankle. Some other things we're going to get to here this morning. You're going to hear, and we told you this last week on the program, you are going to hear from Frank Stronach, who is the chairman, the honorary chairman of the Stronach Group. He is the man who is the owner of several racetracks, including Gulfstream Park and Laurel, through his Stronach Group. And Frank took the time to sit down with me for an interview prior to the Queen's Plate a couple of weeks ago when we were in Canada. And he talked about the Queen's Plate. We played that portion of the interview for you before the race, but he got into some other things too, Jude. He started to kind of share his thoughts on different things that racing can do and to remain viable going forward in the future. And let's face it, when Frank starts to kind of get these thoughts in his head, he becomes somewhat of a visionary for racing, and he kind of lays everything out in this interview that we're going to play coming up later in the first half of the show.
Yeah, well, he is a visionary. There's no question about it. It was interesting. Our man, Eloy Vilma, sent me a text last night, and he said he had a question for Frank, and he wanted to pass it along to me. And I said, well, that would be great, except the interview's already in the can.
Right.
But Eloy, always thinking, and of course, he lives at Gulfstream Park, so he wanted to ask something. I don't know what it was, but the word's gotten out that this interview is going to be on the show, and I think a lot of people will enjoy it. And really learn a few things.
Yeah, some interesting things. And that interview coming your way shortly after 8:30 this morning. Of course, that's Eastern time. 9 o'clock Eastern, we're going to be joined by Walker Hancock, who is the president of Claiborne Farm. They send out Elate, their talented four-year-old filly, in this afternoon's Delaware Handicap, one of a few graded stakes on the docket coming up across the country later today. And Elate, the 2-1 morning line favorite, making her first start since her effort in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. So she gets things started here, her first start of 2018, and she is ultra-talented, and she is going to be a major player. At least you'd expect her to be a major player in this Distaff division as we go forward.
Yeah, Bill Mott picking a nice, easy spot, 1.25 miles off a long layoff. So we'll get to showcase the talents of Bill Mott. And she's a talented filly. I mean, she's very special. And, it's funny because you learn things as you go along. Everybody was super disappointed with her Breeders' Cup. She ran fourth, and she didn't. They said, people said, oh, she didn't fire this and that. And when you look at the Brisnet speed figures, she'd run 108, 108, and 107 in the Breeders' Cup. So it was only 1 point off of her two best races. So she fired.
Yeah.
She just wasn't good enough, and that happens. And maybe it was the day. Maybe it was the track. Some of the horses didn't like the track down there. But anyway, she's now fresh, and she's training well, so we'll see what happens.
All right, so we'll get a chance to talk to Walker about Elate, 9 o'clock Eastern time. 9:20 Eastern, we'll be joined by CJ Johnson, who is the director of broadcasting and wagering at Kentucky Downs. He's going to fill you in on all the things happening with their upcoming meet in September, and there are a lot of really positive things happening at Kentucky Downs. There have been for a few years now, and the purses are extremely high, and he'll tell you about that. He'll tell you about the incentives that they're going to offer to horsemen as well, as you're making your plans for where you might want to prep that horse, maybe even for a Breeders' Cup race. Kentucky Downs might be the place to do it, and CJ will tell you about that at 9:20 Eastern, 9:40 Eastern time. Tommy Robbins, the vice president of racing at Del Mar, is going to be with us to preview their meet, which begins this coming week. Hard to believe.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really looking forward to it. We've had some, you know, relatively nondescript racing the last couple of weeks, but we've got Del Mar and Saratoga opening up, and things are looking way up.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge summer of racing. Many of those big races are going to be heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out a complete Road to the Breeders' Cup broadcast schedule as we take you down that road and through the Breeders' Cup World Championships exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Poll question for the day, speaking of Del Mar. You can only go to one track this summer. We're going to give you one opportunity to go to one track. So if you can only go to one track, is it going to be Saratoga? Is it going to be Del Mar? Or the third category will be other, and if you choose that one, specify, let us know which other track you would like to attend. You can only go to one. Which one's it going to be? You got Arlington, you got Monmouth. They're under the other category, and no disrespect to them, but we couldn't list 10, 12 choices, so we had to do it this way.
I think you're limited to four, aren't you?
Yeah, I think Twitter does. And that's all on our Twitter feed, at HRN on Twitter, and we'll update the poll questions throughout the show. How about you? One track, JT.
Monmouth for the Haskell.
Ooh, there you go. So you're in the other camp.
I'm in the other camp. Yeah. I mean, I like the other two tracks. Don't get me wrong. I think they're both great. But I really like the Haskell. I enjoy Haskell Day. And of course, you know, you're close to the beach. That never hurts my feelings any. So
maybe Ellis Park.
Ellis Park
That's
is cool.
One. It is a really cool
yes.
track.
Yes, it's very cool. It's, let's see, how many years is it now? I think it's 30 years since the Press Box softball team won the championship at Ellis Park. I was a part of that. The late Cliff Gilliams was part of that as well. My old boss, Doug Udodge. Cliffy had a party for everybody at the 20-year anniversary. Yeah. And he's no longer with us, but I was thinking about that the other day, actually, because our jerseys, they said Excitement 78, which was the motto of Ellis Park that year, and then underneath it said God I Love It, and that was Joey Pulaski, who's also no longer with us. It's not good to be on that team.
Are you the lone survivor?
No, there's a few of us still kicking around, but
it was 1978.
1978,
so 40 year anniversary.
Is it 40?
40.
Yeah, okay, 40 years. Oh, geez, I don't even want to think about that. It wouldn't even occur to me if somebody had asked me how long ago that was.
Yeah.
I'd probably say like 20 years ago.
Right.
But
I was
yeah.
seven, just for the record.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was 21.
Baby Baron.
Baby Baron. Yeah, he could have been the ball boy.
There you go. Run out there, get the bat, bring it back. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have some fun. That was a big deal in that softball league is, I don't know if they still have it, but at the time it was a big deal. They had a long tradition of playing softball, and the racing officials had won every year until that year, but the press took over. We had some guys that could really play, and it was a big deal at the time.
Well, so there you have it. That may be your choice for another track to attend this summer. You can weigh in with our poll question at HRRN on Twitter, and again, we'll update those results as we move throughout the show this morning. We're going to get to our first commercial break. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the racing that's happening today and tell you the very positive story of jockey Corey Lannery, who got back to the winner's circle yesterday. Great story. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Kentucky Downs.
Kentucky Downs is home to five outstanding days of racing beginning September 1st, highlighted by 14 stakes races, four graded stakes, and a record $10 million in purses, with increases to the Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup and the Taurus Mile. The new Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint will serve as a stepping stone to the new Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, and all Kentucky breds race for $130,000 in maiden events and $145,000 in allowance races. Kentucky Downs, beginning September 1st.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3 and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-588. 5480.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here comes King Zachary with a blitz on the far outside. King Zachary goes right by Axeman. Axeman is back into third. There's 3/16 to go, and King Zachary's got a two-length lead with one furlong left. Tis Mischief battles on. Axeman is toiling. Funny Duck on the outside and Combatant is 16th to go. It's King Zachary by three. Now by four, King Zachary decisively in the mat win.
Travis Stone with the call of the Grade 3 mat win at Churchill Downs. That was back on June 16th. It was a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. King Zachary defeating Axeman and everybody else. It was a big effort. He won by nearly five lengths that night. That was Stephen Foster night. You remember, Jude, that was a hot, humid, muggy night. You really didn't have any air to speak of. It was one of those types of nights where you just walk outside and it just kind of takes your breath away. But it didn't take King Zachary's breath away. He dominated. He is the 6-5 morning line favorite in this afternoon's Indiana Derby. And Robbie Alvarado will be aboard for Dale Romans.
Yeah, he was very impressive that night. And it was kind of a surreal race. It looked different. Sometimes you see those races and they just have a different look to them. And he overwhelmed the field and looked great. Anthony and I were talking about it during the week on Express Bet Radio. And his race was really special, I thought. it's not often that you have a horse that strikes you like that, but it was very good, and I expect him to perform well again tonight.
In the first segment of the program, as we came on the air at 8 o'clock Eastern time, we referenced the news that came out about Justify and him taking a break right now with the racing side of things because of the filling in his left ankle that was discovered this past week, and they're going to make sure he's good to go before they make any decisions on proceeding with a campaign or not proceeding, whatever they decide to do. Assuming, let's say Justify doesn't race again. Somebody in this three-year-old division has to pick it up and go. And you have horses out there that are going to be coming back for a late-season campaign, like the Vino Rossos of the world and Bravazo, horses like that that were prominent throughout the Triple Crown. Could King Zachary be one of these late bloomers that jumps on the scene and takes control with races like the Travers and even the Haskell looming on the horizon?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think King Zachary has the credentials to move forward, be a late developer. You know, he's got a lot of talent. Dale's been patient with him. He didn't, try to rush him into the Triple Crown or any of that stuff. So I think he's got that going for him. He has a tremendous pedigree. He's by Curlin, who was a late developer himself. So I think that's in his favor. And if you look at the progression, I mean, since the Wood Memorial, his speed figures have improved, and his last two races are both victories, one in allowance and then one in the Matt Wynn. But he's really at the top of his game. He's beaten some nice horses, and he continues to train well. He blew out for the Indiana Derby with 1 3/5, 5/8 at Churchill, so... You know, he's headed in the right direction.
One of the horses that he beat in that Matt Wynn was Axeman. You heard that name in the call. Axeman is back in action today as well, but he's going to return to the West Coast in the Los Alamitos Derby. And Axeman, trained by Bob Baffert, I think you have to look at him as being the horse, in his barn anyway, that could pick things up if Justify doesn't return. Because Axeman is ultra-talented. And you remember when he won... on Belmont Day, on the undercard. No, where was it? It wasn't Belmont Day.
It was Preakness Day.
Yeah, Preakness Day.
Yeah.
When he won Preakness Day, he was ultra impressive, and people were saying, well, maybe he should go in the Belmont Stakes and challenge Justify in there. And there was some talk of that, but I don't think he was never under serious consideration for the Belmont.
Yeah, well, those are people who don't really understand what it takes to get a horse to the Belmont Stakes. that's a big... ask for a horse that wins a non-graded race on Preakness Day to go to the Belmont. But he was like Baffert's third string horse,
Because he had McKenzie.
Right. And he's another one that, he wasn't overly pressed. He has a lot of talent, a lot of speed. As far as today's race is concerned, Baffert, he pretty much owns Los Alamitos. So, he looks very tough in today's race. He didn't get away well in the race at Churchill in the Matt Wynn. So he was behind it right off the bat. He's a horse that likes to go to the lead or lay close up, and he had to be rushed. And, he kind of ran out of gas at the end. And as you mentioned, the conditions were really tough that night. It was almost like running in Florida. Yeah. And Baffert likes to ship in on top of the races. So the horse didn't really have a lot of time to acclimate to that weather. We none of us did really. We were all pretty strung out that week because the weather had just been hideous. So I think he had some things going against him last time. He's home now. He's working good. He's got Drayden Van Dyke back on him. I think Drayden kind of lets him roll a little bit, and I think that's how he wants to run. So I think he's going to be tough, and he's got a ways to go to get to the caliber of a horse like Justify but he's
a nice horse.
He's a nice horse. Yeah. He's got something in the tank, and he can certainly move forward.
All right. Well, we'll see if Axeman can get back on track in the Los Al Derby. Back to King Zachary and Robbie Alvarado for just a minute. If Robbie were to win with King Zachary today, he's already won the Indiana Derby 3 times. That's a record for any jockey. He'll add to that record with a 4th victory today. And you know, you think back, we were talking earlier about your softball league at Ellis Park in 1978. Well, Robbie's first win in the Indiana Derby came in 1998, so that was a little while ago, too. He won with a horse named One Bold Stroke for trainer James Baker. That was a big win for Robbie in 1998, and then came back a couple years later. He won with Orientate. Remember how sensational he was, a future Breeders' Cup winner. He won with Orientate in 2001, and then came back in 2007 with Zanhero for Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen.
Yeah, yeah, he was a nice horse, too. Yeah, Robbie has a good record in that race, and I think he has a good record at Indiana Grand overall. I think it's like 5 wins and 8 starts or something. So he likes it there and does well there, and certainly he's on the live merchandise tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, well, speaking of riders, we told you that we had some positive news about jockey Corey Lannery, who has been kind of out of action for a while. He did ride at Arlington last week, but he returned to Ellis Park yesterday and returned to the winner's circle for the first time since the passing of his wife, Chantel, on June 22nd. And an emotional day for Corey, no doubt, an emotional victory when he rode Hide the Honey to victory. And it was nice to see Corey back in action and kind of trying to get back to normalcy in some way here. And it's never going to be normal again for Corey and for his little girl, Britlin. But it was nice to see Corey back in the winner's circle and doing what he knows how to do. And he actually talked about that earlier in the day before he won the race. He said, you know, once I get a leg up on the horse, it's just about me and the horse. And I think it's really therapeutic for him. And it kind of takes his mind off of everything that he has been dealing with and all the heartache and pain he's been dealing with over the past few weeks.
Yeah, I think he's very well mentally prepared for all of it. And I haven't spoken to him personally, but just the interviews that I've read, seems like he's got his act together and he really you know, wants to do this, wants to get back to work. He said that, you know, he could hear his wife telling him, you know, go out there and make some money.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he was gonna take that advice. And so you know, it's always hard when you lose somebody, and especially they were a very close-knit family. We used to see them all the time in Florida together, out to dinner. And, you know, I mean, they were just a very close family. And so it's always heartbreaking when that happens, and especially somebody that's so young.
Yeah, and he touched on that. He touched on the fact that now he is, you know, a single parent, and he's going to need help because, first of all, with his work schedule, that, you know, being a jockey, first of all, you're traveling a lot, right? And even if he decides to stay close to home and ride locally, that's still going to be difficult in terms of his hours that he has to keep and taking care of his young daughter. You know, she's into other activities like dance, and he has to make sure that he's able to get her there. So he's going to need help. His parents are coming in. Chantel's parents will come in. He'll have help from the racing community, no doubt. He referenced that about how many people have reached out to him and gone above and beyond trying to help him. And, you know, Corey, congratulations. Happy to see you back in the winner's circle, my friend, and great to see you trying to get back to some sense of normalcy here. And it'll never be normal, but you know, he'll do his best and he'll keep going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a great attitude.
Yep. Yeah. No doubt about it. All right. It is time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in Lexington, Kentucky. They are the dealership of the equine industry. They have been for well over a decade. And you want to go see the folks, the Godfather, and all the great folks at the Lexus store. And trust me, they'll take care of you if you're in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, whatever it might be. When we come back, you're going to hear from Frank Stronach as he talks, at least shares his thoughts on some of the things that he feels we can do better as an industry to keep racing relevant as we move into the future. So you'll hear from that coming. You'll hear from Frank coming up next, but it is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This is the story of a man who, by accomplishment, was the picture of a veritable giant on the palette of the world of thoroughbred racing. From modest beginnings in Pennsylvania to his death at the age of 86, he had experienced unparalleled success in both racing and breeding. The green and white silks of his stable were accountable for 4 Kentucky Derby winners. He was born December 12, 1859, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, where in his early years he worked in steel mills and other industrial establishments. Recognizing very quickly that his future lay in other forms of human endeavor, so to speak, he heeded Horace Greeley's advice to head west to become a part of our nation's then burgeoning westward expansion. He became both a prospector and a gold miner, and in a relatively short period of time managed to accrue enough equity to head for the windy city on the banks of Lake Michigan, Chicago, where he began to invest in real estate. In 1898, at the age of 39, he acquired a small stable of horses as part of following a physician's advice to get out into the open air more extensively. The first horse he purchased was named Fair John, and that horse registered the first win for the soon-to-be-renowned stable at Harlem, Illinois, July 27, 1898. The best of his early stable of thoroughbreds was named Bad News, because it traveled so fast, of course, who was by Flying Dutchman out of Black Sleeves. The horse had been purchased as a 3-year-old from Woodford and Buckner. In 1906, he bought a 335-acre tract of land in the bluegrass of Kentucky and expanded his interests into breeding. That farm eventually embraced some 1,500 acres and housed such prominent stallions as Helmet, Black Tony, North Star III, Black Servant, Bubbling Over, Burgo King, Balladeer, Bimlick, and Blue Larkspur. The name of the farm was Idle Hour Farm and spawned 4 homebred Kentucky Derby winners: Behave Yourself in 1921, Bubbling Over in 1926, Burgo King in 1932, and Broker's Tip in 1933. The latter broke his maiden in that Derby, winning that infamous stretch duel with Head Play. Other notables from a virtually endless list that came from the Idle Hour Farm just outside Lexington included Baba Kenny, Big Pebble, B-Mac, and Busher. This gentleman accumulated enormous wealth from a variety of vocational interests, including Chicago real estate holdings, extensive newspaper interests, and the Beach Club Casino in Palm Beach, Florida. He was a man widely known for his charity and philanthropy, with extensive involvement in projects such as orphanages and other worthy enterprises. Among his turf-related accomplishments were the development of the Fairgrounds Racetrack in New Orleans as a winter site for thoroughbred racing, and through his breeding stock was greatly responsible for the success of such subsequent luminaries of the world of racing as John W. Galbraith, Edward Morris, and movie mogul Louis B. Mayer. He died at the age of 86 on August 15, 1946, although the permanent influence of this octogenarian on the history and development of the American turf will always be indelibly emblazoned on its most glowing of pages. That man who made the green and white silks of the Idle Hour Farm, the stuff of which legends are made, was a true titan of the thoroughbred world, and his story is indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing. He was Colonel E. R. Bradley.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Faster?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I can pick it up myself.
Or you can pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
It wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time grade one winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and point of entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five race winning streak.
Point of entry hails from a remarkable female family with his first four dams grade one winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multiple graded stakes winner Analyze It. And his second crop is off and running with several promising juvenile winners already in 2018. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're letting out all stops coming to the top of the stretch. Pleasantly perfect, catapulting past horses on the far outside as the field turns for home. Ghost Zephyr has now shrugged off Roses in May. Pleasantly perfect continues to rally down the center of the track. Azari doing her best, but she's now fifth. In between horses, perfect drift. Ghost Zephyr kicking clear, and Ghost Zephyr is pulling away impressively. And a pumped-up Javier Castellano, they have soundly defeated Roses in May. Pleasantly Perfect was a well-beaten third. Perfect Drift was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ghost Zephyr, who can forget that day? Back in 2004, one of two Breeders' Cup Classic victories for owner Frank Stronach and his Stronach Stables, racing in those colors of Adina Springs. Ghost Zephyr, so impressive, and now a Hall of Famer and one of the top stallions in the country. And he stands at Adina Springs alongside the other Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Awesome Again, who gave Frank his first victory in the Classic in 1998. And those are moments that Frank Stronach will never forget. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, prior to the Queen's Plate, I had a chance to visit with Frank and ask him about those victories and so many other topics. And here's what Frank had to say.
Frank, allow me to walk through some of your accolades, if you don't mind. In Canada, yes. Adina Springs has won a total of 21 Sovereign Awards to go along with the 12 Eclipse Awards that you've won in the United States. When you first became involved in the thoroughbred business, gosh, I guess 3 or 4 decades ago, could you ever imagine where this journey would take you?
Well, you got to have hopes and dreams, you know, and you got to say a silent prayer. And, you know, there's no limitations to hopes and dreams. Your knowledge, you know, there's limitations, but you got to have hopes and dreams. And I think if you do the right thing over and over, I think, and if you try to be a good person, I think a good person's a little more lucky than others.
When you think back on everything that you've accomplished in the sport, what are you most proud of?
Well, it's naturally when you read the Breeders' Cup Classic, which I won some, and I won the Preakness, I won the Belmont. I mean, those, and naturally the Queen's Plate, because the Queen's Plate is really, it's home, right? We are, you know, we are a farm not too far away, and the staff goes there, and there is, so the Queen's Plate is always special. But while I got you on the thing here, you know, racing has, as you know, the handle about 30, 40 years ago was $15 billion. And now the handle has come down to about $11 billion. In today's dollars, you know, that's a huge shrinkage. So I have a concern, and I tried to get across what we have to do, that racing stays alive. You see, horses are really our closest connection to nature. You know, it's nice when a family makes an outing on a Sunday afternoon or morning and goes to a farm, sees the foals, sees the horses. And we got to change our model. We got to change our thinking. First, we got to have programs to get younger people to the racetrack. But the primary problem is we're squeezing out the small owners and the small trainers. That's the backbone. You know, those guys get up 7 days a week at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to chase a dream. But the problem is we ride so many big races. We need a few big races, but we got to look, I mean, 80, 90% is claiming horses. And even though if you lay out 100,000 or 500,000, most of them wind up in claiming. So we got to have, and the smaller trainers, the smaller thing cannot afford those high priced horses. You know, usually the people which lay out a lot of money for a yearling, 500,000, sometimes a million, they have other businesses. They earn for different reasons. So the small ones, they want to, a big win or a great one win or whatever. It changes their lifestyle. It changes their family, their kids, and et cetera, et cetera. So we're squeezing them out. So we gotta be careful that we leave it lovely. We gotta ride cheaper races. And it's the smaller trainers which have some friends or try to meet a businessman, a small one, and say, look, it's a lot of fun. Let's stay. They are our greatest ambassadors.
Let me take that one step further with you and say, okay, if there are so many mom and pops that are supporting this industry, and I agree with you, I think that there are so many people that work hard every single day and they don't get the recognition they deserve. So by writing, I'll say, cheaper races, we get bigger fields. Bigger fields lead to bigger handle. Is there a correlation there?
Yes, that's true. I mean, we still have, naturally, we cannot neglect the customer. The customers have more choices now to spend their entertainment dollar, casinos or whatever. So we got to make sure there's good food there. Usually the food has always been, so we got to have good food there. And bigger fields, people like to bet on bigger fields, so the handle is bigger. But you got most of those racing ports and the owners, you got mainly owners there, they like to have 4, 5, and 6 horse fields to win a big allowance race. In the horse community, you got to get, there's so many people which love horses, but we squeeze out the smaller ones. This is to get up 7 days a week. That's a burrito. They got to make a little better living.
You know, it's interesting. When you think about what you've accomplished, you've made it look very easy, but you touched on it earlier that all of that success is a product of hard work and determination. So was there ever a time for you that maybe this wasn't so easy?
Well, I didn't read the Queen's Plate for quite a number of years, and naturally, my focus was I had some thriving businesses, and my thing, I focused on, I built up 2 businesses, which we are number one in the world, right? And car business, I think I changed maybe the way we built cars. Okay, we have about 170,000 people. Imagine that.
Wow.
Okay. Matter of fact, I think I'm the only Canadian or one of the, I'd be inducted in the Auto Hall of Fame in Detroit in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, right? So But the key, my worry is we got to change the mindset, huh?
You know, we mentioned names like Baskin and Awesome again earlier in the interview.
Yes.
There's been others that have been close to your heart. I know Ghost Sapper, for example,
Ghost Sapper is
another one.
Ghost Sapper, look, Bobby Frankel never made too many comments, but he always remarked, that's the best horse he ever had. Look, he could sprint, he could go distance, he could go on the grass, he could go on the slop, he could go on Bali.
Which is the horse that first put you on the map, Frank?
It's Gloria Song.
Yeah.
I remember right when we, like Jerry Belanger,
mm-hmm.
or when we shipped out that filly to Santa Anita, she had a winter coat on. The odds were very high, and she won the Santa Margarita. She's a great one.
Wow. You know,
yeah.
This past year, you were awarded a special Eclipse Award of Merit, and
yes.
you mentioned that you have to be innovative if you want to be number one. And I think that describes you to a T. Is that how you look at yourself in the sport? Are you an innovator?
Well, you know, when you're in business, you have to think what you have to do to make a better product for a better price. With horses, it's more. Horses are living, you know, it's different. It's not like making a gearbox or a transmission. You put it in the warehouse. So there, the most important thing is that you have the right people. On my farm down in Florida, Christ, I have swimming pools. I got nice houses. I got, volleyball, soccer fields, basketball. It gets monotonous when you be on the farm. So you got to provide the employees with, that you have a nice environment. So it's in any business, it's people, but in the horse business, it's more.
What's still left for you to accomplish in this game? What are some of the goals that you still have?
Well, the thing to change the mentality or to lay a framework that racing can survive and thrive. That's what I'm aiming for, to maybe try to reach a lot of people, a lot of big horse owners, and say, look, you love it, your kids love it. But look, if we don't change the thing here, racing won't be around. That's another thing. There's a lot of things siphoned off and offshore, and also we got to make sure that goes back to the track.
You know, it's interesting because your Gulfstream Park, every year the handle continues to grow, the attendance, I mean, everybody is coming to Gulfstream. That vision that you had for Gulfstream Park has come to fruition, and it's really been incredible. Frank, is that the new model for horse racing?
It was the new model, but if I do it again, the next one we're going to build will be a little different. But but we serve good food, it's a little more spacious. We got a shopping mall up front. We tried to that the whole family could have an outing. I remember when my kids were small, they said, not again to the racetrack. But if you provide that, that the family could do things there as well, right? We gotta make some changes. I like to remind people, look, this is such a great game. Horses provided such a great service to mankind. Where would we be without horses?
Yeah,
so
well
we
said.
Gotta. So it's just gotta in a sort of innovative, in a productive, in an inspiring way. Look, don't let that beautiful game. Don't let it go down the drain.
If you were to build another racetrack today, what would you do a little bit differently than what you did at Gulfstream?
We gotta get younger people there, huh? We know racetrack is home to anyone, right? To the lowest of the low, to the richest of the it's home to everyone, and that's great, and that's fine. That should be, but there's also some pretty rough language. Your family, if they don't want to go on the thing, so you have to separate it a bit, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes you got first class in an airplane. What you mean to you? That's life. If you work hard, if you think you want to achieve things, right? So we got to make for young people, we got to give them down corner, right? Or down little area where they could dress up and meet young people. You know, it's better than in a nightclub. You know, yep. If they meet, there's a lot of young women which love horses. Wouldn't it be nice if they have a place? And so there's a lot of young guys there, too. They also love horses. So we got to promote that.
Frank, when everything is said and done, and you yep. finally step away from the game in whatever fashion, how will the Frank Stronach legacy be defined with racing? How do you hope it's defined?
I guess on my tombstone, maybe one of those days, they would say, he made a great contribution to horse racing, and he was a nice person.
And that's Frank Stronach, and the honorary chairman of the Stronach Group, owner of several racetracks, including Gulfstream Park, that you heard him talk about just a few minutes ago. My thanks to Frank for taking the time to visit with me with that interview a couple weeks ago. Jude, so many different things to take away from Frank's comments there. And the one thing that keeps coming back to me every time I listen to that interview, and even as I was going through and kind of piecing it all together for our listeners this morning, his passion for the sport of thoroughbred racing. This is somebody, whether you agree with the way he goes about doing things or not, this is somebody who absolutely, unequivocally loves this game.
Yeah, he loves the game. And more importantly, though, I think one of the things that came through for me was how much he loves horses.
Line,
where would mankind be without horses? And it always seems to boil down to that in our business and other businesses involved with equine athletes. You know, the love of the horse is the number one thing. And I think he's right. You know, in today's day and age, everybody's, you know, in a rush all the time. Everybody's going here and there. Everybody's on their cell phones and all that stuff. But to get to a farm and spend some time with a horse, actually touch a horse, or, you know, just watch him in the field, be around him. It's so relaxing. It's so enjoyable. A couple of weeks ago, I was hosting my wife's family reunion at Keeneland, and the people were just so enamored with the horses. And it was very nice. Some exercise riders brought their horses over to the rail at the winner's circle, let people pet the horses, talk to the horses. One of the outriders came and gave everybody peppermints to pass out to the horses.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, it was so, that was something that none of them had ever experienced that before. And so when people get that opportunity, it's rare and unique. And they really do feel it. And a lot of people sent emails and thanked me for taking them out there and how much they enjoyed, you know, seeing that aspect of Kentucky and what the horses were all about.
And the other thing that I thought was very, very interesting, when I asked him what he may do differently if he were to build a racetrack today, differently than what he did, say, at Gulfstream Park, and he talked about how the racetrack is home to, as he put it, the lowest lows and the highest highs in terms of the demographics that you see at the racetrack. And I think that's one of the neat things about this sport is that you have people who are extremely wealthy, you have people that are not as wealthy, and they are all in the same area together and all enjoying the same sport, right?
Yeah.
That's one unique aspect of thoroughbred racing that I don't think we ever want to lose. But he talked about how if a family comes out, there can be some rough language at the racetrack. And he says you have to give them their own areas, right, at the racetracks. And it sounds like that's his future vision, is that you have certain areas for, as he put it, for young people. If you want to hang out with, you know, people that are your own age and kind of do more of the party thing, you can do that in a certain area. You have another area that is maybe for the families that want to be separated from that party environment and some of the language that can be thrown around. And then you have the other areas for, well, as Frank alluded to it, the first class areas, right, for some of the upper echelon people that want to experience that side of racing. And you have separate areas at the racetrack. Do you agree with that philosophy? Do you like it?
I think that has value. I think, that's one thing that is a kind of an earmark of a Stronach track, is that they try to have something for everybody. And, you know, if you like Gulfstream, prime example, if you like to, you know, play slot machines, you can do that between races. If you like to have a nice lunch, you can go to any one of the restaurants in the mall surrounding, excellent food. He mentioned food at the racetracks. I mean, there's nothing more disconcerting than going to a racetrack and you want to have lunch or something and the food is terrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, he makes an effort in the, all of those areas. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but, it really came home to me one Florida Derby when we were staying across the street at the beautiful Hampton Inn. And I walked across to do the show with you, and, a guy and his wife are getting out of the car, and he says, I think the Florida Derby is today, honey. And she goes, oh, that's interesting. And he goes, yeah. He says, I'll go shopping with you for a while, but I want to come back and go to the Florida Derby. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, here's Mr. Stronach's vision in action. The guy goes to the mall with his wife, right? And he's thinking, oh, this is going to be, you know, just another one of those shopping days. I'm really stuck here. Yeah. But then there's something for him. He sees it's the Florida Derby, and he wants to go, you know, watch the races, and that's what it's all about.
Well, I will say this, though. We have to be very careful as an industry, and Gulfstream is notorious for this, especially on big days now, like a Florida Derby day or Pegasus World Cup, for example. That might even be a better example. You can't price out the everyday fan, right? And I think we've seen racetracks going that direction on their big days where they have made it so expensive to get a ticket and get in. You can't take your kids with you anymore, right? If you're going to go, it pretty much has to be you because it is so expensive. And we have to be careful not to lose track of, you know, the everyday fan that goes to the races and comes there and either gets in for free or pays his $2 or her $2 and gets into the races every day. And all of a sudden, when you have a signature day, you price them out and say, no, wait a minute. You have to pay $50 for a seat just around the walking ring out back. You know, you can't do that.
Well,
you have to be careful.
You know, in Stronach's defense, they let everybody in free every day except for a couple days a year.
Right.
So, you know, that's that side of the coin.
Well, the other argument would be, okay, you know, any other sporting event that you go to.
Right.
If you go to a major league sporting event, which horse racing is, on a signature day, you pay a premium.
Right. Absolutely.
Right?
You don't pay the same for the World Series as you do for the Thursday afternoon game.
I'd just like to see some type of access somehow, somewhere, where, you know, if somebody wants to get in, even if you go, let's say you let them in for free, everybody gets in for free at Gulfstream the rest of the year, maybe you charge $10 for general admission on that day or whatever, you know, and at least make it affordable for people that want to come out and bring the kids and, you know, let's not lose track of that side of the business.
And there's other ways to do it, like having programs for, several visits a year or whatever. Like if you could sell, 10 admissions or whatever for the year to signature days for one amount or whatever, depending on the length of your meets and all of that stuff. But I think by and large, they do a good job. I understand the big days. A lot of times it's very, very difficult, to get around. They want people there, who are going to spend a lot of money. And I understand that it is a business, just like, you know, Justify maybe not running anymore. It's a business at the end of the day, they got to pay the bills. Plus I think one thing that's lost on a lot of people now is the security factor. It is so expensive to have security, and there's security at every racetrack, and it's a huge expense. So I think that's something that people have to keep in mind. You don't want the crowd to get out of hand, and you don't want to have any issues at all. So the security is expensive. And when you have that kind of, event, you have to put that, you know, right up top.
All right. We're going to go ahead and get to another break. We'll come back, tell you what's ahead in the second half of the program, and update you on our poll question. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched but keeping track of Gandhi at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Dolez have won the Fad Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Emollient for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Empire Maker, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Undefeated in sprint competition, Eclipse champion Run Happy captured three Grade 1 victories and set blistering speed records at both Keeneland and Saratoga. In the Breeders' Cup Sprint, he dominated the world's fastest runners, going six furlongs in a record-breaking 108 and change. The only horse nominated for three Eclipse Awards, Run Happy was crowned champion male sprinter, all the while racing 100% drug-free. Champion, millionaire, record-breaker. Run Happy, standing at Claiborne Farm.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Denali Stud, led by 2015 Farm Manager of the Year Gary Bush, and Donnie Snellings, regarded as one of the best yearling managers in Kentucky. In recent years, Denali has raised Grade 1 standouts Animal Kingdom, Taprit, Her Eminency, and Hawkish, while consigning Grade 1 winners Constellation, V.E. Day, and Bolt Doro. Consistently a top 5 consigner, Denali has sold a $1 million horse at the Saratoga sale 3 years running, and the sale topper in two of those years. Denali Stud, a proud tradition of attention to detail and raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrell.
Super Saver wins the Derby for Tom Fletcher and for Calvin Burrell. Burrell's third win in the Kentucky Derby.
You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're into the stretch. Money's on. Charlotte has taken the lead. Elate still has no place to go. Asking for Money is there on the outside. Can Elate get through? She's trying to squeeze through a slim opening here and through the eye of a needle. Here she comes. And Elate has charged through to take the lead, and she is taking off for the wire, leaving the others behind. Elate dominates the Beldame. Oh, she was sharp today. She won it by 7. Then Money's on Charlotte and a photo with Eskin for Money and Verb's Tail. The final time was 1 minute 50.21 seconds.
Larry Colmus with the call. Last year's Beldame, Elate, an impressive winner. She returns this afternoon in the Delaware Handicap. She is the 2-1 morning line favorite for Claiborne Farm, and we're going to be joined by Walker Hancock, the president of Claiborne, coming up in just a couple of minutes. He'll tell us all about Elate, and he'll look back on the success that they had at the Fasig Tipton July sale just this past week. So looking forward to that visit coming up to kick off hour number two. Don't forget that hay season is now here. That's right. And that makes now the time to save on hardworking hay tools for a limited time. Enjoy extra savings on select John Deere mower conditioners and round balers. All you have to do is pay a visit to your local John Deere dealer to learn more and be prepared with tough and reliable equipment when it's time for that first cutting. Offer ends October 26th of this year. Terms and conditions do apply. You can see your John Deere dealer for qualifying products and complete details. And how about this? You can call 866-678-4289 to find out how you can get an equine discount. That's right, an equine discount of up to 28% off new John Deere equipment, from tractors and mowers to gators and haying equipment. John Deere has everything you would need for your horse farm. Visit your local John Deere dealership today and ask for your equine discount, or call 866-678-4289 to learn more. Pretty cool. 28% off new John Deere equipment. Well, we told you Walker Hancock is going to kick things off for us in hour number two. That comes your way in just a minute. C.J. Johnson from Kentucky Downs will also be with us at 9:20 Eastern. And Tommy Robbins, the Vice President of Racing at Del Mar, will look ahead to their upcoming meet at 9:40 Eastern Time. That's all ahead right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Audible by three. Hofburg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Baldoro is forging clear. This is a high caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Baldoro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs in the month of July. Happy to have you back with us. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Baron, and Pontiff, coming to you from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass, and looking forward to a big second half of the program. If you missed any portion of the first half, all you have to do is go to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast of the entire show available for you after 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen every week at your leisure. That's horseracingradio.net. And, of course, check out the podcast of all of our programs, including our Weekend Stakes Preview Show, presented by Naira Betts, which is posted now, where Jude and the Big A, Anthony Stabile, preview all the big races coming up this weekend. Head over there now, horseracingradio.net, and follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter. We threw out a poll question at the top of the show, and here's the way it goes. If you could only visit one track this summer, which one would it be? You only get to go to one. Which one is it going to be? Saratoga, Del Mar, or other? And that, of course, encompasses several top tracks like Arlington and Monmouth and Ellis Park. Saratoga currently winning. 62% of the vote coming in for Saratoga, 36% for Del Mar. Only 2% of HRN Nation saying they would go someplace else. And one of those is the Pontiff of the Pick Four, because, Jude, you commented on that. You played by the rules, specified in a comment where you would go, and you said Monmouth.
Yep, Monmouth Park for the William Hill Haskell.
Might want to think about Delaware.
Delaware's nice.
Delaware would be nice. I'd like to be there today for the Delaware Handicap.
Yes,
to watch the big girl Elate strut her stuff for Claiborne Farm.
Yes.
Well, Walker Hancock is the president of Claiborne. He's with us now. Walker, appreciate the visit, my friend, and happy Delaware Handicap Day.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Mike.
Yeah, big day. Great to see Elate back in action.
Oh, yeah. We're happy to have her back, and we're excited for the second half of the year with her.
Was this the plan all along, to kind of give her a bit of a rest and then bring her back about this time of the year, or did you hope to maybe get her started a little bit earlier?
No, we actually were hoping to run her Derby Day in the La Troyenne, but unfortunately she had a little setback in the spring with a little splint bone issue. It was no big deal at all, but it required some time off. And then we were hoping we could maybe make the Ogden Phipps on Belmont Day. But unfortunately, that didn't happen either. But here we are in the Belmont Handicap, and we're excited to be there. We'll hope for a big second half of the year with her.
Kind of a tough ask going a mile and a quarter off of a layoff, but you got the right trainer to do it. What are your gut feelings about the spot?
I trust Bill Mott. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. And, you know, she's had some really solid work on this. She worked a really strong 7 furlongs a couple of weeks ago. So I just was talking to him about it, and he said if she's not fit for it, then that's my fault. But he's fully confident in his training regimen, what he's done with her, and I think she'll have enough underneath her.
Walker, for people that aren't familiar with the way that this process works in our sport, you're talking about a Hall of Fame trainer in Bill Mott. You're talking about one of the most iconic farms in the history of the sport with your Claiborne farm. Talk about the dynamic of selecting spots for horses. How does this all come together when you're plotting out a schedule, especially with a quality filly like Elate?
Well, she's going to come back and be a broodmare for us. Either end of this year or maybe even next year. So we kind of pick out some races that might add to her prestige. Obviously, the personal incident at Saratoga carries a lot of weight because of its history, and it's obviously a big grade one and a big racetrack on a big day. So anytime you can do that, it really adds to the value of a broodmare in the long term. But also, you run in a race like the Delaware Handicap, which it's only grade two, but carries a purse of $750,000. So, keeping horses in training isn't cheap. So we've got to run where the big pots are to, help pay for the racing stable. So I think you add those two factors into maybe where you pick the spots and try and plan the best course of action. And the ultimate goal at the end of the year is the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and the best way to get her there. Mr. Bill obviously has that planned out, and I trust him.
Yeah, she's already a multiple grade one winner. If she wins today, her earnings are sitting at $870,000. So if she wins today, she'll become a millionaire. You mentioned a future broodmare. How important is it to get those earnings up over the $1 million mark since she's already a grade one winner, multiple grade one winner?
For a mare like Curry, obviously I look more for the prestige of the races than the earnings, but certainly earnings carry a big factor. Anytime you can make a millionaire is a big deal in the stud book, and people see it on the pedigree page, and it improves or enhances the value of all of her offspring. So it's a good deal for all.
You guys bred her, and how many half sisters and full sisters and stuff are there in that family? How many horses are you working? Do you know?
I don't know, but obviously we have Dan Cherry, and then she's out of our mare Yell, who's still producing. And Yell, she probably has about, I'd say, 10 or 11 foals, and about 6 or 7 of them have been fillies. So we have quite a bit of the blood, and it all goes back to the mare Wild Applause, which is, you look back, she's become a blue hen mare. So, that pedigree is live. It's got many offshoots to it. The pedigree page is as strong as you'll see in the stud book.
You're a Hancock. That's like royalty here in Kentucky. And when you look at those pedigrees, and they date back to your grandfather and all of those things. What's that like? Does it give you a sense of pride? I'm sure, but what is it? What does the history mean to you?
Well, it's a lot of pressure to keep it going, I'll tell you that. But I embrace it. It's a lot of fun, and I enjoy what I do. But, yeah, it's obviously a challenge to keep the families going and try and pinpoint the next maybe blue hen mare that you can add to your broodmare band and, improve the families. And it's an ongoing process, but anytime you can add a grade one or a grade two Delaware Handicap, it's a big deal for us.
Do you feel the pressure of that legacy from time to time, Walker?
From time to time, yes. But I really love what I do, and it doesn't always feel like a job to me. It's just like a hobby almost, which is great. I'll never feel like I have to. I don't always feel the pressure because it comes easy to me, which is good. Maybe I'm too young and too dumb to realize it right now. But I know my dad told me when he sent his kids there at Secretariat, he was too young and dumb to realize what he's doing until he looked back on it and realized the enormity of the situation.
Yeah, that was quite a time for everybody in racing, and a lot of pressure on your dad, and people weren't very kind sometimes talking about him. But you know, he rose to the top as your family usually does, and it's such a great legacy there at Claiborne Farm, and all the fantastic things you've done over the years, and the tremendous horses. I mean, one of the highlights of my life was going there in 1978 and actually being able to feed Secretariat grass. It's a day I'll never forget. And you know, I mean, just horse after horse comes out of there, and what a powerful piece of land where you raise all those great horses.
Thank you. We're trying to keep it going as best we can, so hopefully we'll continue well into the future.
Walker, one of the things that's great about Claiborne is that people can come out and they can, as you just alluded to, they can get up close to so many of the horses that have captured their heart over the years. How important is it for you moving forward to make sure you maintain that openness and that relationship with racing fans?
Oh, yeah, it's very important. You know, we offer tours 7 days a week. Obviously, there's some blackout periods like during the September sale where we kind of just let the breeders come out and stuff. But, yeah, it's important to get the fans involved and let them reconnect with maybe the horses that stole their hearts on the home stock. Give them a chance to get up close and personal and feed them a peppermint or give them a pat on the neck and get their picture taken with Warfront or something like that. I think it's very important to get the fans involved and keep the interest in the sport high.
Do you let him meet Bernie Sams, or do you keep him stored away out back somewhere?
No, he's not allowed to come out of the office. He's some of the folks away.
Throw him a biscuit once in a while, he's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Visiting with Walker.
Bernie does a great job for us, though. We joke around that he's not allowed to cross the bridge. He just stays in the office.
Yeah, one of the best in the business for sure. And we are visiting with one of the best, and Walker Hancock, who is the president of Claiborne Farm. We told you Elate goes to the post in the Delaware Handicap today. Walker, this past week, as a matter of fact, last Saturday, we were at Fasig Tipton to preview their July sale, and that's a sale where we start to look at some of the future stars of the sport, if you will, with some of the yearlings that are going to go through the auction ring. Your stallion, Flatter, had the sale topper, a colt that sold for $520,000, consigned by Lane's End, Al Rashid Stable, the buyers. Congratulations on that, my friend.
No, thank you. Yeah, Flatter's unbelievable. He's 19 years old. It seems like he's getting better every single year. You know, he started out the hard way, breeding a small book of mares, you know, very cheap mares, and he's just has just risen every year since for the past 10 or so years.
What's the stallion that surprised you the most? Maybe caught you. You said we know he's going to be good. We didn't know he was going to be this good. Would it be Flatter?
Yeah, definitely Flatter. I mean, look, he started. He was only ran a handful of times, and you know, you could say his race record was unremarkable, but obviously he's bred so well. He pans out premier praise, and you know, full brother to congrats. And he's his female family's deep, and you know, he had every chance to be good, but he had to do it the hard way. No one really knew who he was when he started, and you know, he's come with some huge horses here lately. And I wish he was 9 instead of 19. I'll tell you that. we're trying to. He's a great breeder, and you know, he's healthy and sound, and you know, hopefully he's got a few more good years left for us.
I had some people breed to him when he was 5,000. They were all wishing his stud fee was 5,000 again.
Sure, a lot of people do. Yeah, those are the loyal breeders though, that supported him from the beginning, so we appreciate them.
Well, Walker, we know you have a busy day ahead of you, so we'll let you get to it. Really appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and all the best with the late today, and all the best with the stallions throughout the year.
All right, thanks for having me on again. You guys are the best.
All right, Walker Hancock, president of Claiborne Farm. I loved your question, Jude. What an awesome honor it is, right? Yeah, he's a Hancock, and that is royalty in the thoroughbred business, no doubt about it. But what an awesome responsibility for a young man like Walker to take this organization into the next, you know, decades as he maintains his position at the top. What just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I got to think it's really cool. You know, every time you open a sale book or every time you're, you know, planning a mating or whatever, and you look at the pedigrees and those horses all date back to, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Claiborne's been in business for over 100 years. So, you know, it's really got to be a cool thing, I think. And you know, it's definitely an honor. And but, you know, it's luck to be to be born into a family like that. And then to have all that stuff. It's sometimes I would think it could be a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, a little bit daunting.
He's a very sharp guy, and he's going to do great, I'm sure.
No doubt about it. Great team. Bernie Sam's part of that team and really does a phenomenal job out there. So all the best with Elate today. Let's see if she can get it done in that Delaware handicap for Claiborne Farm. All right, coming up next, you're going to hear from C.J. Johnson, who is with Kentucky Downs. He'll tell you what you can look forward to with their meet coming up in September. And then Tommy Robbins will preview the Del Mar meet, which begins this coming week. It is time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, here's a good one. Fasig Tipton steps in as Barrett's fades in California. Barrett's will cease operating in 2019. The Stronach Group and Fasig Tipton announced on July 13th that they have reached an agreement to conduct thoroughbred auctions at Santa Anita Park beginning in 2019. The new partnership is stepping in just as the Barrett Sale Company is winding down the auction business it has operated since Fred Zahadi, Jerry McMahon, and Ralph Hines founded the company in 1989. Pretty big stuff, and looking forward to that relationship coming up next year in 2019 with Fasig and with Santa Anita. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. Don't forget that you can pre-order your Justify Commemorative Triple Crown Collector's Issue today. Blood Horse will be publishing a 248-page full-color publication which chronicles Justify, his connections, and his journey to become the 13th Triple Crown winner. There's also stories and dozens of spectacular photographs of Justify and the other 12 Triple Crown winners. A limited number will be printed, so you want to pre-order yours today by going to shop.bloodhorse.com. All right, C.J. Johnson from Kentucky Downs coming up next right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and this show all presented by our friends at Kentucky Downs.
Kentucky Downs is home to 5 outstanding days of racing beginning September 1st, highlighted by 14 stakes races, 4 graded stakes, and a record $10 million in purses, with increases to the Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup and the Taurus Mile. The new Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint will serve as a stepping stone to the new Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, and all Kentucky Breds race for $130,000 in maiden events and $145,000 in allowance races. Kentucky Downs, beginning September 1st.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe. Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan doing a little Dick Dale music. How could that be bad? The Baron's back with
us. It's never bad. It's never a bad thing, is it?
No, love the surf guitar.
Yeah. That's your guy, isn't it?
Dick Dale? Dick Dale, yeah.
How many times have you seen him in concert? A couple times,
Five.
Right? Five?
Yeah.
Wow.
Five. And one, I was going to see him one other time, but I missed.
Swing and a miss.
I couldn't get tickets. I could not get tickets in New Jersey. But yeah, it's great.
Our next guest is so dedicated that he has decided to join us while he is on vacation with the family, taking time. He even had to get up early because he's 2 hours behind us right now. So it is only 7:23 where CJ Johnson is vacationing. But doesn't matter to him. He's a dedicated guy. He loves to talk about Kentucky Downs, and he is with us now on the Equine Forum. CJ, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Things are good. Thanks for getting up a little bit early.
Yeah, no problem. Well, usually I'm up this early, but for whatever reason, the kids have decided to be sleeping in the last few days, so I've actually been catching up on sleep. But no problem to get up for you guys anytime. Glad I could help you out.
Yeah, looking forward to the meet coming up in September. Never too early to start talking about the meet and some of the purses and the incentives that you're going to be offering to horsemen, because this is the time when people will be looking to plot out those schedules and maybe make their way even to the Breeders' Cup, and why not? Kentucky Downs, the place to be.
Yeah, you know, I mean, only running 5 days, you kind of got to make sure everyone's still aware of what races you're running, you know. And so this year, we obviously our purses went up again. You know, we got another graded stake, and actually we put a lot more money into our stakes races as well. Our Turf Cup this year is going to be $750,000. And $350,000 of that is from KTDF. So even if you're not a Kentucky bred, you know, you're still running for $400,000. And then we also just added the juvenile turf sprint, you know, to mirror the juvenile turf sprint that they're running at the Breeders' Cup. So hopefully we can, you know, be a nice stepping stone to that race.
Yeah, that should attract a lot of attention. But I think what really attracts attention to your program is the purses. I mean, maidens run for so much money, and all the races are just, you know, stacked with dollars. So people love that, and they talk about it all year long. I remember when Kentucky Downs, you know, first started rolling, and people loved the bucolic scene and the really cool atmosphere and races. But now everybody talks about the purses. Have you seen the purses at Kentucky Downs? People ask me that all the time, and I think that's really fantastic. You guys have just absolutely killed it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. When was the last time you were out? What, like 2011 or something?
I was there. I did not go last year. I was unable to go, but the year before. I'm planning on coming this year. My son's a cameraman for TVG, and I know they're going to be doing some live coverage from there, and he's going to be down there. So I'm going to go down and visit him. Good. So I will.
Yeah, it's still got that same feel, you know, that same fair meet kind of feel. And it's still gorgeous down there and everything, but now, you know, the racing has really stepped up a notch. And yeah, like you said, with TVG, you know, we're stepping up our coverage there. It's a good time. I mean, you know, like I always say, it's one of the only places you'll ever, you know, look over at a picnic table and see, you know, Mike Maker, Christophe Clement, Tom Proctor, you know, all these big time trainers sitting there at a picnic table together. So, it's a great time. And again, you know, free general admission. We don't charge. You can come out and bring the whole family. We've got family activities and all. I mean, it's not just, you know, a horse player's heaven. It's a great place to bring the family down for a weekend. And I do know this, I will say this already, that the hotels are booking up and the tickets are going. So if you're planning on coming down, make sure and get your reservations soon.
CJ, talk about some of the economics involved with those increased purses. We always talk about how good the purses are, and it's true, but how are you able to offer those types of purses in such a short time period?
Yeah, I mean, you know, partially the limited amount of race days, but also the you know, our historical horse racing has just been, it keeps just going through the roof. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I don't we only run 5 days a year, so I really only work for Kentucky Downs. You know, I don't do too much with the gaming, but I kind of pay attention to the numbers, and it's astounding. I mean, how this is doing. And you know, they just got a permit to increase to 1,200 machines from like 900. So it's just, they're going to keep going up. You know, hopefully in the next couple of years we can run a few more days. You know, it'd be nice to get a couple more days and keep helping out the Kentucky circuit. But, you know, other than our purses, we're also able to send money to Ellis Park. I mean, this year we're going to send money to Keeneland and Churchill as well. Try and keep, you know, purse is really strong in the whole state of Kentucky, and just keep that circuit going good all year long.
Yeah, that's really unprecedented for one racetrack to be dispersing money to other racetracks for purses. You know, you kind of talk about it matter of factly, but I think it's really a spectacular thing.
Yeah, it's you know, I'll be honest, it was kind of the brainchild of the Kentucky HPPA and my dad Corey. They, you know, that money's got to go somewhere, and you know, our purses can kind of only go up to a certain level. It kind of gets, you know, so we had this surplus of money, and it technically is the horseman's money because it's coming from the gaming going into the KTF purse fund. And so, you know, why not just try and strengthen the Kentucky circuit more and more, keep more of these horses in the state, you know, keep them from going elsewhere. And, you know, I think you'll see a better product all year round in Kentucky because of it.
Talking with CJ Johnson, the director of broadcasting and wagering at Kentucky Downs, their meet coming up in September. CJ, you mentioned the historic racing and the success and how much that has meant to Kentucky Downs. Is that, I don't know if I've asked you this before, but is this a potential answer to some of the purse woes that we see at racetracks occasionally across the country?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Now, it's kind of a, you know, as you guys know, there's tons of different things that could help this, the purse situation. But yeah, and you know, because the big thing is a lot of states don't want, you know, full out casinos and gambling and all that kind of stuff. And this is kind of a, I don't know how to put it, but it's not, you know, it's not where casinos are going to be popping up left and right all over the place with table games and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, but it is a nice little boost to the purses. And I think if, you know, if more states can get on board, it would be a definite plus for the industry.
Well, I mentioned that you are on vacation, so we don't want to keep you very long. You're there with the family, so you were nice enough to get up early. What's going on vacation? You doing anything fun?
You know what? It's we're in Park City, Utah right now. My grandma, I'm sitting on her balcony and watching the sun come up, and it's been one of those. We just kind of came out here and no plans. I mean, we're just winging it. I might go play some golf today, which I'm absolutely terrible at. I have some friends up here that invited me, and the last time I played golf was with Robbie Alvarado and Corey Landry, and they just put me into the ground. So I really don't have much of a game, but I just like getting out and weather. You know, I live in Texas year round, so it's at least it's not 110 here right now. So I'm just going to get out and enjoy something. You know,
that's good. I'm surprised you had enough money left to go on vacation after playing with those two desperados.
Oh, no, I did not let them suck me into my money. They believe me, they were trying. I would not get into that.
Hey, CJ, before we let you go, speaking of jockeys, you are also involved with Jockey Talk 360, doing a tremendous job with that. You can go to jockeytalk360.com to learn more. But fill me in on what's happening there. Everything going well?
Yeah. You know, I've got a lot of different projects going on right now, so it's been good. We're still doing our Jockey of the Week. You know, the Jockeys Guild, they're great to work with. We're just trying to kind of get more, you know, notoriety to the jocks and kind of, you know, tell people about their personal stories and stuff like that. And it's been really well, but also, you know, we just helped reopen the old Yavapai Downs down in Prescott Valley, so I've been really busy with that. They opened for simulcasting yesterday. Plan to start racing after Turf Paradise in 2019, so in May. And so that's been keeping me busy as well. And Yeah, but everything's going good. You know, I got to find other stuff to do for the other 360 days of the year. Kentucky Downs isn't running, so, you know, never a dull moment here.
All right, CJ Johnson, Kentucky Downs, and as you can tell, he has his hands into a lot of different pots here in the world of racing and doing a great job along with his dad, Corey. CJ, appreciate the visit, my friend. Like all of our guests, you're going to get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that to you, and enjoy the rest of your vacation, and thanks so much for all your support.
Okay, no problem, guys. Thank you for your support, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, CJ Johnson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Must be nice. Just go on vacation. No plans. No itinerary. No agenda. Especially when you're as busy as he is throughout the year. Just go chill.
Yeah, that's nice. The best kind of vacation. Just go relax and do what comes naturally.
He painted that great picture too, sitting on the porch of his grandmother's house, watching the sun come up.
Yeah.
In Utah.
Nothing like it. Love porch sitting.
Yeah,
I enjoy that tremendously. I get to do that in Chicago. And it's so relaxing.
Yep.
And, yeah, very, very nice.
I didn't ask Corey, CJ, to weigh in on our poll question, by the way. I figured I kind of knew the answer, right?
Kentucky Downs, dude. Yeah,
I would have had to add one for him. You know, Saratoga, Del Mar, Kentucky Downs, other. What do you think, CJ? Well, if you could only visit one track this summer, which one would it be? You can weigh in now. At HRN on Twitter, cast your vote and let us know. Currently, it looks like Saratoga continues to lead the way. Now, I'm going to give you my theory here. I love Saratoga. It's my home track. I grew up an hour from there. So for me, it's always going to be Saratoga. But the Saratoga-Del Mar argument that we hear in racing every year at this time, it's kind of an East Coast, West Coast thing, right? If you grow up on the West Coast, it's Del Mar. If you grew up in the East Coast, it's Saratoga. And it's pretty cut and dry from that respect. But here's my theory as to why Saratoga is dominating the voting right now. It is 9:30 Eastern time, 9:34. 6:34 on the West Coast. So,
right.
Yeah, there are people listening live, but a lot of our listeners on the West Coast will go back and listen to the podcast. So I can see the vote starting to edge up for Del Mar as we move throughout the day.
Yeah, most of the people on the West Coast are listening to us dead.
Oh, I said live, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they're still asleep. I mean, I don't even know if Juju Bajan was on vacation in Del Mar, would she get up and listen to us at 5 in the morning?
I think so.
Yeah, she might.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Was she better? I'd be hurt if she didn't. Yeah, 64% saying Saratoga, 31% saying Del Mar, 5% saying other, a different racetrack beside those two is where they would go this summer. Of course, you pick Haskell and Monmouth, and that's a great choice as well. You do have Ellis Park, you have Arlington, you have Gulfstream going on. Yeah, Kentucky Downs in September, I guess that would count as still summer, right? We have
right.
A segue into fall, so
yeah,
Kentucky Downs, another one. All right, we're going to get to another break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about Del Mar, preview the meet with Tom Robbins, who is the vice president of racing at that outstanding track. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Denali Stud, led by 2015 Farm Manager of the Year Gary Bush, and Donnie Snellings, regarded as one of the best yearling managers in Kentucky. In recent years, Denali has raised Grade 1 standouts Animal Kingdom, Taprit, Her Eminency, and Hawkish, while consigning Grade 1 winners Constellation, VE Day, and Bolt Doro. Consistently a top 5 consigner, Denali has sold a $1 million horse at the Saratoga sale 3 years running, and the sale topper in 2 of those years. Denali Stud, a proud tradition of attention to detail and raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Did you know since 1998, 236 Ellis Park race horses have won at least one graded race? 102 horses that ran at Ellis went on to finish in the top three of a Grade 1 event, while 37 of those were Grade 1 winners. Groupie Doll and Run Happy raced at Ellis and later won Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint races. Keen Ice began his career at Ellis Park and would later on defeat American Pharoah in the Grade 1 Traverse. Record purses, a new expanded stakes program, and $42,000 pots for Kentucky bred maidens make Ellis Park the best place to develop your future champions.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner.
or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Here comes the favorite, Astern, and the colt is letting rip with a big run. Astern heads off Yankee Rose, then came Good Standing, impending into the clear, but Astern, a big winner in the Golden Rose.
Astern, who is now Medaglia d'Oro's highest-rated son at stud, with victories that included that stunning effort in the Grade 1 Golden Rose in Australia, the country's equivalent to the 7-furlong Grade 1 Alan Jerkins here in the States. That victory makes Astern your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro was North America's leading sire by Grade 1 winners last year with 7. The only other American stallions to have had as many Grade 1 winners in a single year are Mr. Prospector, Danzig, and Stormcat. And now, his brilliant son, Astern, carries on the legacy, having covered a full book of mares in 2018, his first year to shuttle to the U.S. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
The girls in front, Dare and Go with a white cap is now looming a danger. Dare and Go's going to look for the upset. Cigar takes the lead. Dare and Go's got dead aim on him. Cigar's got to dig deep. He's had a run very fast early and he can find. And Dare and Go has gone right on by Cigar. A 16th of a mile to go. And you can never underestimate a classy horse. And this is one classy guy on his day. Dare and Go and Alex Elise win the Pacific Classic. Cigar rallies hot out but has to settle for second. Siphon was third, then Dramatic Gold and Luthia Fever.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Trevor Denman had the call of that 1996 Pacific Classic. I can remember I was at Saratoga that day and went to the carousel area to watch that race on TV. And Darren Goh ending that win streak of Cigar, one of the more memorable Pacific Classics for me anyway. And I know that everybody out there probably has their favorites, but that was, Jude, one of those moments that, you know, again, I remember exactly where I was standing, exactly what TV I watched it on. It's just one of those moments I'm never going to forget.
Yeah, no, I will never forget it. I was actually there that day, and I will never forget it. It was a wild day. It was a great day for so many reasons.
Prior to the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar this past year, I had the opportunity to sit down with the two Hall of Famers, Richard Mandela and Bill Mott. We did an interview together in Richard's barn, and it was amazing. You know, just to, because of course, as a kid growing up watching that race, I'm thinking, man, this is cool. Now I get to sit down with and they talked about that race, but they talked about some other moments too. And Bill said, you know, every time I come out here, Richard gives me a good old fashioned California butt kicking, you know, and it seems like he has over the years.
Yeah. Well, you know, those guys, they've been good friends for a while, but one thing I always remember about that was Cigar was stabled on the other side of me. He was in Bill Shoemaker's barn because Bill was training for Alan Paulson. And I had a filly that I had owned and bred that was in the stall on the other side. And I told Patty Gallagher that I was going to sneak my filly over there and get her bred. And that would have been Cigar, which wouldn't have done me any good. And I probably would have gotten banned from the grounds. Just my luck.
Well, our good friend Tommy Robbins is with us now from Del Mar. He's the vice president of racing at that outstanding racetrack. As they say, Del Mar, cool as ever. Tommy, happy to have you with us, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning, guys.
Yeah, a special day.
A lot of reminiscing.
Yeah, I know.
About the old days.
How about for you, a Pacific Classic that sticks out to you maybe more than some of the others?
No, I think that one probably. It led to a huge crowd and the anticipation of Cigar. Definitely, as you guys all witnessed it. But it's been a wonderful race through the years. It was brought to us by, at the time, our chairman, John Mabee, and it made absolute sense to fit into the national racing calendar and have a race at Del Mar. We needed a signature race, and it made perfect sense. We just had to find the money.
Yeah, well, you did, and it all came together, beautifully, and well, not for Cigar, but for the camp of Darren Goh, it came together quite well.
Yeah, there was a roar at the top of the stretch, and then it went kind of silent.
Yeah, that's always weird when that happens at the track, when it goes quiet. Beholder was another one that I think that was one of the best performances I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And that's a long time.
It's always nice to see. We see it in Europe a lot, where the females run against the males, and we don't see it so often in America. So it's nice when it happens and it actually works.
Yeah, well, this year's Pacific Classic, of course, comes up on August 18th, which is a Saturday, the week before the Traverse Stakes at Saratoga. So it's a massive two weekends of racing. And, of course, every weekend at Del Mar is a big weekend. You kick things off this coming Wednesday, Tommy. Is today the first day of entries? Are you taking them this morning?
Yes, it is. Yeah, today is opening day entries.
Yeah, an opening day at Del Mar. There's nothing like it, right?
No, there really isn't. I've often said that, the racing that goes on, although we try to put on the best cart that we can, of course, is sort of secondary to the to all the events that take place in the grandstand. The women and dressed in their hats all seemingly imbibing somehow get off work in San Diego County. hard to understand how it all works, but a lot of people playing hooky, I think.
Yeah, fascinators and fedoras.
We hope to have 35,000 or so on a Wednesday, so that's saying something.
Yeah, it's not like Keeneland. At Keeneland, it's the same way. But bosses in Kentucky seem to know that Keeneland's on, and for 3 weeks, their employees may or may not show up to work. So it's kind of a tradition here in Southern California. I don't think they have the same feel.
Yeah, no. Keeneland, it's like that three-week flu that happens.
Yeah, that's right.
Not here. They'll forgive maybe one day, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course you have the opening day feature, which is the Oceanside Stakes for the three-year-olds, a mile on the turf. How many are you expecting in that one, Tommy?
Well, it's a good question. It's one of those races that kind of on the bubble whether we're going to divide it if we get enough or try to run one strong full field. We'll let you know in several hours. we'll have the answer to that.
What other events or big time races? We talk about the Pacific Classic, the Oceanside on opening day. I mean, you've got several graded stakes races. Fill us in on some of the other big races that will be coming up throughout the meet.
Well, I think starting with the youngest group, that we have two grade ones at the end of the meet, that the Futurity and the Debutante, and they've been very good races, productive races through the years, our meet is kind of it focuses on turf horses, and it really the 2-year-olds start popping at our meet. They'll run now with the new calendar with Santa Anita running through pretty much the Hollywood dates. There are 2-year-old races there, but no stakes races. And then the 3 weeks of Los Alamitos. There are some maidens that are broken, of course, but again, no stakes races. So it's important for us to pop with the 2-year-olds and provide opportunities, both dirt and turf, short and long, and culminating with those two grade ones at the end of the meet. Plus we have two mile grass races at the end of the meet, $100,000 each. In Del Mar, we have to, or in California, we have to do it purse-wise. We have to do it kind of the old-fashioned way. Purses derived solely from wagering that exists only on horse racing rather than some of the other, you know, states that have the benefit of slot machines and things like that. So we do the best we can to offer a variety of races. We have other grade one races, the Bing Crosby's or sprinters, you know, this is a good time for them. And we've got some Breeders' Cup challenge races as well. So it's you know, we try to offer a variety and try to please as many people as we can, which isn't always possible, as you well know.
The Del Mar Oaks and the Del Mar Derby are two outstanding races, too, for the three-year-olds that like the turf. I think that's always been one of the pluses of the Del Mar meeting.
Right, yeah. No, like I said, grass, we pretty much focus on grass, and, you know, we've had people through the years say, why don't you have a major three-year-old dirt race? And we would love to, but again, there's financial considerations there, and there's just a, you know, there's a plethora of these races that are run. I think we did our homework, and I think there were $3.8 million worth of three-year-old route dirt races that surround us. So of course we would love to keep some of the California horses here, but they have so many other opportunities. We're just afraid that, you know, what would we keep? And then where would that money come from? So it's a difficult proposition to try to squeeze one of those in, especially, you know, later in the meet when we have the Pacific Classic. We've had a number of good three-year-olds that have done quite well there, even though with the option of going east a week later and running in the Travers, we've had success with our better three-year-olds running in the Pacific Classic.
Talking with Tom Robbins, who is the Vice President of Racing at Old Del Mar. The meet kicks off this coming Wednesday, July 18th, and runs through Labor Day, September 3rd. You can go to DMTC, that's Del Mar Turf Club, DMTC.com, to see a complete stake schedule and all the promotions, the hat contest, which comes up on Wednesday on opening day. And as Tommy told you earlier, it will be a very special day, as it always is, opening day at Del Mar. Tom, I'm glad you brought up the two-year-olds, because that is such a significant focus of racing at Del Mar and even here on the East Coast at Saratoga. I guess it's never too early to start getting a little bit of Derby fever, and it seems like every year we see a two-year-old that emerges from that Del Mar meet that all of a sudden becomes one of the major players for the Run for the Roses next year, and I would expect much of the same this year.
Yeah, that's very true. We hope so. We keep our fingers crossed. We've got, you know, some pretty talented horsemen out here, and it's proven its worth through the years. So, yeah, we're excited about that. It's a great time.
I think that Baffert guy is going to be okay.
I've heard he's progressing quite well.
He's number two with a bullet.
Well, Tommy, it should be another special meet, and we appreciate you being up a little bit early with us. I know it's a busy day for you with the first day of entries, so we'll let you get to it and get everything together, and can't wait to watch here on Wednesday as you kick things off.
Great, guys. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Appreciate it, Tommy. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, Tom Robbins going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up and tell you what's ahead. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Philip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Philip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting graded stakes place filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Philip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Drey Fong.
Drey Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Drey Fong's the leader. Drey Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime! Motors on the outside!
Justin Philip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Freak yeah, welcome to Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah, whoa, she's going to slice down on that lettuce.
Freak yeah, she's a fresh lettuce freak. Slices it fresh every day at exactly 3/32 of an inch.
Freak yeah, wait, now she's carving meats?
Freak yeah, she's also a meat freak. Slices are all natural meats by hand daily.
Freak yeah. Freak, you gotta be kidding me.
Freak yeah, also a bread freak. Makes bread fresh in-store every 4 hours.
Freak, wow.
Here's the best part, we're all lettuce, meat, and bread freaks here. Because that means better sandwiches for all.
Double freak wow. You guys are freaking my freak.
Freaky fresh, freaky fast, Jimmy John's, freak yeah.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic!
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it! Emollient for Mike Smith with a huge run in this Grade 1.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Empire Maker, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Next Saturday, we begin our, well, continue, really, our road to the Breeders' Cup. We began that series of broadcasts back with the Belmont Stakes and all the Breeders' Cup winning your in races. But next Saturday kicks off our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series. Every Saturday, you'll hear exclusive radio coverage of the meet's biggest stakes races right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All that coverage presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org. And our thanks to them for all their support of that entire series. And next weekend's pretty good one. Next Saturday, you have the Grade 1 Diana and the Grade 3 Sanford. That coverage coming up 5 o'clock Eastern time. Make sure you check out our website for more information on SiriusXM channels and where you can tune in on affiliates across the country. But that'll happen every single Saturday. And Jude, among our broadcasts coming up are races like the Jim Dandy and the Whitney on August 4th. You have the four-star Dave and Adirondack on August 11th. That is a broadcast that will also include the Arlington Million, the Beverly D, and the Secretariat from Arlington Park. You have the Pacific Classic and the Alabama as part of one big show on August 18th. And then the Travers, the Personal Ensign, the Sword Dancer, the Ballerina, the Forgo. The list goes on August 25th for the Travers. And we close it out with the Spinaway for the two-year-old fillies and the Woodward on September 1st.
It's too bad they don't have any good races there.
Yeah, I know, huh? Yeah, was there anything that I just mentioned that was able to get you excited for this racing this summer?
I've been excited. I mean, you know, Big A and I, we've been doing the dog days of Belmont Park and Gulfstream Park, and we've been looking forward to having some of these fantastic races and the fancy allowance races and some of the good New York bred races at Saratoga. And then, of course, Del Mar at the end of the day, because they're so far behind us and they don't start till 2 o'clock.
Yep.
That's 5 o'clock our time. So, but they'll have some racing there too that will be really interesting and worth betting on.
Yeah. Next Saturday, Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer are going to host that coverage for us of the Diana and the Sanford. They'll be live from Saratoga. The Big A also going to host this program live from Saratoga, the Equine Forum. So make sure you tune in, because he'll have several special guests talking about the entire meet, talking about those big stakes races next Saturday. And he'll be in our broadcast position, which is right about at the 16th pole. So a pretty good location to broadcast from. It, actually, I think we're inside of the 16th pole there at Saratoga. So it should be a great, great venue and a great setup and a great meet.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to it. And, yeah, Section B. Just look for Section B.
That's right,
B.
Section we're B right of the clubhouse.
At the bottom of Section B, and you'll find us there.
Yep.
Come by and say hello.
Yep, going to be a really busy meet, and we are happy to bring it your way here on HRRN. Don't forget, we are your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championship. So in addition to Saturdays at Saratoga, you'll hear so many of the Breeders' Cup Challenge races from venues like Keeneland and Belmont and Santa Anita when we get into the later stages of the summer. And then, of course, you will hear every single Breeders' Cup race exclusively with us here on the network that comes your way in early November from Churchill Downs. So make sure you're locked into that. And all of our Breeders' Cup coverage this year, again, presented by visitbarbados.org and our friends at Red Brand Fence.
Yeah, yeah. We appreciate them supporting us, and we are very happy that all of you listen to us every weekend.
Yeah, and appreciate all of our special guests for joining us here this morning. If you missed any portion, head to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out the podcast. Our thanks to Frank Stronach for taking the time to sit down with me for that interview a couple of weeks ago. You heard that in the first half of the show. Walker Hancock from Claiborne, CJ Johnson from Kentucky Downs, and Tommy Robbins from Del Mar. Again, podcast, horseracingradio.net, will be posted in just a little bit for you to listen to at your leisure. 111 days, 2 hours, and 25 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Our thanks to Chauncey, Sean C., for filling in studio and handling all of our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. We'll talk to you next time. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.